They came on a tiny trickle of clear water and drank. For a while in the early afternoon, they sat near a mound of stone, and Pox fell asleep. When she woke, the Quokkin was gone, but before she had stretched more than twice, she saw him coming through the trees. From time to time her mind would reach for the memory of yesterday's pain, but she could not touch it. It was as if a pane of heavy glass lay between that reality and this. She could not think what she might do next, or where to go, and at last, she quit trying to think of it. They came back to the Quokkin's house in the last of the sunlight. Pox took her clothes, now dry, from the bushes, and folded them in her arms. She felt pleasantly tired, and slightly hungry. The Quokkin smiled.
"Sit here in the warmth, while I bring supper," he said. "Or will you come with me?"
Pox thought of the inn, and the misery returned full strength. This time she felt the tension knotting her brow and hunching her shoulders, and tried to stand upright. But before she could frame an answer, the Quokkin shook his head.
"No, not yet. Stay. As I feared, it will take more than one day of healing."
And he was gone, across the glade and along the path to the village. She sat trembling, hating herself for the fear that had slammed back into her mind. She could not even go to an inn, even here, where she had had friends and no enemies. She stared at her hands, broad and scarred with the years of war. If she could not hold a sword or bow, what could she do? Not stay forever with a Quokkin, that wouldn't do. Her hand felt for her belt pouch, and she remembered that she'd put it in the offering basin. Everything was gone. Everything from those years had gone as if it had never been. Warriors can't keep much, but that little they prize. The loss of the last of her treasures to the Quokkanum still hurt. Sabin's little red horse, Kana's medallion. Now, she had not even the Duke's ring left. "The third ring," she thought ruefully, "that he's given me, and I've lost somehow." As before, she wasn't sure how long the Quokkan had been gone when he returned. He was simply there, in the evening dimness, carrying another kettle. She forced herself up as he came toward her. He nodded, and they went into the house together. This time she helped unpack the kettle, and made no protest at eating. He had brought slices of roast mutton, swimming in gravy, red roots mashed with butter and mushrooms. Again. She looked up, to say something about the cost, met his eyes, and thought better of it. She ate steadily, enjoying the food more than she expected to, but fearing the questions he would surely ask after supper. But he said nothing. As long as she ate, and when she finished and stacked her pans for return, he seemed to be staring through the opposite wall. His own dishes were empty. She reached for them, wiped them, and put them in the kettle. He looked at her suddenly, and smiled briefly.
"You're wondering when I will start to question you."
Pox looked down, then forced herself to meet his eyes. "Yes."
"I had thought tonight, but I changed my mind."
A long silence. Pox looked away, around the room, back to his face. It was unreadable. "Why?" she asked, finally. He sighed and shook his head.
"I'm not sure how or how much to tell you. Healing is a Quokkani craft, as you know."
Pox nodded.
"Well, then, one part of the healing craft is knowing when to act and when to wait. In the case of humans, one must also